pray for me. Okay.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you this morning, again, for the gift of your word, for the ways that you've shared your word in this past week with us, for the ways you've challenged us, and the ways you've convicted us, and the changes that you're bringing in our lives. We pray a special blessing on Brother Marcus as he shares with us now. Glorify yourself in our hearing and in our response. In Jesus' name, amen.
For charity's sake, Beni Swale Tenel, blessed be the Eternal One. May the Lord be with you there. I had a sister that was at the same place you're going to. She was there for 5 years. And it's good. And greetings to all of you in the worthy name of Jesus Christ. It's been a privilege of mine to be with you and to get to know you. The longer I'm here, the greater the connection I feel. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. And as you are turning there, I was driving down Battlefield Boulevard in our area a while back, and I saw this license plate. And it struck me, it caught me. How is it that somebody on his license plate can so encapture something that God has placed into every human heart? Oh, to belong. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read two sentences, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. This license plate so captures something very close to every human heart, and God obviously has placed it there. A lot of people today go to great lengths to belong. A lot of people find a sense of belonging in clubs, in fraternities, in lodges, in groups for a cause. They jump onto the bandwagon and they want to belong to this bandwagon. Sports teams. For instance, one man comes into our cabinet shop selling donuts. He came in one day wearing a jacket and a ball cap. I don't even remember which team he was for. I have a severe difficulty remembering which ones are baseball or basketball or football teams. And I intend to keep it that way. I would encourage you to keep it that way as well. He said something about, obviously there was a big game coming up, and he asked me something pertaining to the game, and he said, "We need all the help we can get." I thought about that as though if I would root for him, they're in this cabinet shop, if I would root for that team as though that would actually do any good. But somehow with the vicarious experience that he was wanting to have, to join, to be a part of, it was real to him. I'm telling you, God has something much more real for us today. One man described football, and I have no idea if anybody enjoys football here. It says it all started back I'm not sure how many years ago it was, when somebody killed a pig, and they've been arguing about who owns a pigskin ever since. In the light of eternity, that's probably fairly accurate. We had some neighbors that they had a nice house, air-conditioned. They had a pool in the back. They really had a nice house. In the summertime, however, they would leave their house. They would drive down to Nag's Head on the Outer Banks. They're outside of North Carolina, in North Carolina, actually. And they had set up a camper there. And they rented this spot. They set up this camper. And they would go down there just about every week possible. They'd leave on Friday afternoon, come back either Sunday night or early Monday morning. What they enjoyed was outside their camper, they'd sit up in lawn chairs, and they had other campers close around them. People that they really didn't have much to do with, except they were doing the same thing that they were. And they would go down there basically for human fellowship. They would, you know the difference in a camper bed and a real bed? The real kitchen and a camper kitchen. Why would someone do this? Why would someone exchange this? It's on a weekly basis. And it was because of the longing, to belong. They wanted to belong to something. Today, it is very possible for people to live in our nice houses and to drive our air-conditioned vehicles with the windows rolled up. And we drive through and we live through the course and interacting or even lack of interacting with other people. We can have neighbors down the street that we never get to know because our windows are closed as we pass by their houses. I'm speaking proverbially here. Their windows are closed to keep the dust and the elements out of their houses. And so we can live. We can as much as not even acknowledge people as we meet them in the grocery aisle. And I've been thinking about that recently, how we tend to live with other humans in such a very, very impersonal way. But God has given us the desire to belong, and God has given us the desire to have a personal interaction with each other. Often people want the benefits of belonging to something, but are unwilling to pay the price, unwilling to give themselves to what it takes to really belong. There's a price that is to be paid for belonging. I knew a man, young man named Jake, let's call him Jake, who he so longed to belong. He had this yearning to belong, and he was complaining to me once how that he doesn't belong and life isn't fair because You know, he received nothing from his father and from his mother. There was nothing good passed down to him. They were a dysfunctional family. And here, let's call him John. John is another fella. And John lives with his mom and dad. John drives his mom and dad's car. John works for his dad. And John just has it made. I knew Jake good enough that I knew that Jake would be totally unwilling to submit himself to the authority which John lived under. And it would not have worked. Though he longed for it, yet he would not have been willing to pay the price. He would not be willing to submit into the authority structure, the family structure, that John was under. People do this. People want to live together without getting married. They want to hold off on the commitment. They want to belong to each other, but they're unwilling to commit to each other. It's a human, it's a trend. It's the way people live today. Back in the day when we probably were not quite as concerned about some of the Protestant influences, I used to go to some ACE conventions. And at this ACE convention, somebody did make a startling observation, and they were fairly dogmatic. They said, assuming that parents pay to have their students come to school, they said if there's somebody who does not pay to have their students come to school, they are the ones who are going to cause the problems. They were saying, don't let them. Just don't let them come. If they're not willing to pay something to get them there, don't let them. Because when somebody receives the benefits of something that they are not willing to invest something of their own into, they're going to be the complainers. They're going to be the fault finders. There is certainly an element of truth to that. Benefits do not come without a cost. Like all God-given desires, there's a proper way of fulfilling the desire, and there's also an improper way of fulfilling the desires. There's a proper satisfaction. There's also an improper and a sinful satisfaction. Sometimes in our pursuit of belonging, if we're not careful, we even alienate ourselves further in our own minds. Sometimes we jump to things. We can jump to things. Jump into belonging to something. And in the end, it opens up trouble. It opens up even sinful practices because of it. Back to Ephesians chapter 1. I'd like to hear from you several words which are used here, at least three words here, which deal with this subject. Can you tell them to me?
Chosen.
Chosen. Thank you. Adoption. Thank you. Accepted. Thank you. According, verse 4, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I can well imagine that all of us have faced a certain aspect of loneliness. It could be because we, in fact, were lonely, that we were by ourselves. We did not feel connected. And it could also be somewhat because we ourselves have not been willing to open up to others. We want others to open up to us, but sometimes there is a retention. We're not willing to open up to them. And that can give us a sense of loneliness. We're speaking both on a social level, on a human level, but let's take it deeper. what he is talking about here, what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians, what God is talking about. We are chosen into the family of God. He has adopted us into the family, and he has accepted us. I have a cousin who is adopted into her family, and she has a very unique and a very good perspective on this. She says, my brothers, she said, mom and dad had to take them. I mean, they just had to take what came. Me, they chose. They chose me. And I find that to be a special, unique perspective on this. God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He has adopted us as children. And he's accepted us. It's not like, okay, I'll let you in, but stay there. But he's invited us in. He's chosen us. He's accepted us. And we are one of his. 2 Corinthians tells us in chapter 9 and verse 8 that our sufficiency is of God. The things that we desire, the things that we need, they are in fact of God. They're from God. They are found in God. The things that we desire, if you carry it through, what the natural things that God has given to us, if we carry that through in a deeper level, we find them in God. We have the natural desire. We have hunger, a desire to eat. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's a deeper meaning. There's a deeper longing, there's a deeper fulfillment that we can only find in God. Colossians chapter 2 says this in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. To me, what this is saying, as pertains to this, don't be sidetracked. Don't let this desire to belong, don't ever try to fill that with earthly satisfactions. Because if we fill that with earthly satisfactions and we allow ourselves to be satisfied with those earthly satisfactions, with the earthly senses of belonging, then we will cease seeking to really belong to whom it matters. We want to belong to God. And ye are complete in him. We could say outside of him there is no completeness. Outside of God there is no true belonging that reaches to the core of your soul. Ye are complete in him. Our sufficiency is of God. Jesus gave a words kind of in passing, Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, he's speaking to his disciples, because you belong to Christ. He's saying that as though they already understood that. Because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Ye belong to Christ. Two words that come to my mind when I think of belonging. One is possession. I belong to him. I am possessed by him. The other word is fit. We belong here. We fit there. Let's look at both of those. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20 says this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here God is placing ownership on our lives, even our bodies. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Ye are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. Since you don't belong to yourself, that means that you belong to God as a believer, as one who has faith in Jesus Christ. You belong to God. Belonging to God obviously means that since I belong to Him, He has the right to tell me what to do. He has the right to tell me what not to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is another passage very similar to this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's saying God is possessing, God owns, God has ownership of you. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We find two reasons that we really do belong to God. One, He is our Creator. If you go out and make something, young men, whose is it? It's yours, right? You go make something, it's yours. In the same way, God has made us. So in that regard, we are His. But God also gave us the opportunity, He gave us the responsibility of choice, that if we don't want to be His, He's not going to force us to be His, even though really we are. So we can walk away. And as we have walked away, He calls us back. He redeems us. So by redemption, we also are His when he calls us back. I remember this story of this as a child growing up. This child had a boat. And this boat, he was playing with it out in the stream. And for some reason or another, it got away from him, and it flowed downstream. He bought it. It was his, but it flowed downstream. And he was very sorry to lose it. A few days later, they were at a little pawn shop in town, and there he saw his boat. And he couldn't go to the pawn shop owner and say, "That's mine, I want it." He had to buy it to get it back. So he bought it and he got it back. So it is with Christ. We're His by creation. And then He buys us back also. That is redemption. Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 6 is an example of how we commit ourselves to be His. Exodus chapter 21. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve thee, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, "I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free," then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door and unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This is the example of somebody who's serving a master, who has connections with his master, who loves his master, in fact, and he doesn't want to go out free. He wants to remain a possession of his master. He wants to be owned by his master. And so something is placed, a mark is placed in his ear. It's like branding an animal. this animal is branded, and the branding shows the ownership of this animal. And so it is with this Hebrew servant that says, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my family, I'm going to stay here. Here, brand me. Bore my ear with an awl. I'm going to be yours. It's motivated by love. It's not that I have to be here, but it's that I willingly choose to be here, and I intend to stay here. I intend to stay your possession forever. Galatians chapter 3. Has this to say. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's not a blanket statement for everybody everywhere. For ye are all the children of God by faith. It's those who by faith in Christ Jesus have become the children of God. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Again, our identity, our possession, we are Christ's. First Peter tells us, speaking of to the church there, for ye are a peculiar people, you're a treasure which I cherish, you're mine. Going on to the second word, since we belong to God, and that belonging to God, knowing that we belong to God, that really is the depth of how we belong to God. Thinking of fitting, if you find a puzzle piece, you probably as families enjoy putting puzzles together, and I will admit something, a bad habit of mine, that I used to have. There was such a pleasure in completing the puzzle. Some of you are smiling because you've probably done it yourself. There's such a pleasure in putting the last piece in that if we'd be sitting around the table, I had this habit of getting one piece and kind of without being noticed, sliding it out and putting it in my pocket. And then we'd finish, and then I would reach in my pocket and have the pleasure of putting the last piece in, the piece that fit. You've probably done it too. And if you haven't done it, now you know how to do it. It becomes a problem when others also know how to do it. There's something about fitting. There's something about fitting in. There's something about having a spot. There's something about belonging that actually we have a place to fit into the scheme. We have a place to fit into life. There are two organizations or organisms that God has given us to fit in. One of those is a family, and God gives instructions as to how to operate within the family. The other is a church, and God also gives us instructions how that we should fit into the church and how we shape ourselves, how we allow God to shape us rather, and how that we act in order to really fit in. The family, for instance, Ephesians chapter 5. There are several verses here. You don't need to turn here. Wives, we have instructions from God. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, we have instructions. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Those are instructions in God's words that tell us how to fit into family. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. as we follow those instructions, it helps us know how to fit, and it helps us actually work as we fit together. Back to the puzzle. The colors line up. The shape lines up. It fits. As we follow God's word, we fit into the families. I was 35, and I was outside of my family for about 15 years, and that was something that to me actually was something that I didn't quite know where to fit in. But Psalm 68 says that God has set the solitary in families, and that was true in my life, and that is also true for those of us who don't have the typical family structure. God does set the solitary people in families as well. And so I would encourage you in families to open your homes, and those of you who may not have specific families as others around do, avail yourself to become a part of another family. The church, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. We also have the privilege of belonging to this organism, the church. God has so ordained it. We have the privilege of belonging somewhere. We don't have to go out to Nag's Head. I realize that, you know what Chip and Nancy Temple look for in the discomforts of their camper down in Nag's Head, I have the blessed privilege of finding at church, in church. And God gives us that privilege as well. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 18, and now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You as an individual member help to make up the body of Christ, the church body. He gives us instructions as how to live. Love one another. Be kind, forgiving one another. Exhorting one another, encouraging each other. Greeting one another. Confessing our faults one to another, bearing one another's burdens. Lie not one to another. Be not consumed one of another. Speak not evil one of another. Grudge not one against the other. There's just so many instructions that God gives to us as how we should live in the church. Won't stay there long. We're talking about belonging. We want to belong somewhere in the future, too. And I believe probably the older we get, the greater that desire to belong in heaven becomes. We want to be owned by God. We want to be possessed by God. And we also want to fit up there. So my question is, how do we in this life become fit for glory? How does God prepare you? 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7, when King Solomon was building the temple. This was a great work. This really was a great work. And we think we're amazing today with advancements in technology and things like that. But as you remember, and the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither. so that neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in for there, excuse me, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. That's amazing. Back in the stone pit, they shaped these big blocks of stone to where when they got to Jerusalem, they fit right in. They did not have to chip away. They did not have to beat them into place. But they fit. And I'm suggesting that today you and me are in the stone pit. We are being shaped so that we fit when we get to heaven. And we are being shaped by the circumstances that surround us, the circumstances which may seem but bothersome to us, the circumstances which we wish would just not be, the circumstances we wish would go away, the people we wish would go away. We are being shaped by those interactions. If we allow ourselves, if we allow God to be chipping on us here, God to be shaping us, God to be fitting us for glory. John 14, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And he's also preparing you as a person, by the circumstances, by the situations which you are in today, he's shaping us, he's fitting us for heaven. Oh, to be like him. Oh, to belong in glory. John chapter 17, verse 24. Jesus is praying. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus here is praying that we can be with him in glory. And I believe that should inspire us, that should give us hope, that should give us a longing that, yes, though the circumstances of this life are tiring, though they are stressful, this is not the end in and of itself. But this is the pathway that in fact we're going, so that one day we will be with him forever in glory. Paul talks about in Galatians how that he's yearning, he's in travail till Christ be formed in us. So my encouragement to you this morning is do not seek to fulfill and be satisfied with any belonging which is less than Christ's plan for you. Belong to what Christ belongs, what Christ wants you to belong to. He will fit you. He owns you. Rest in that. And he is fitting you. He is in the process of fitting you and me to belong with him forever in glory. God bless you.
I'm going to be opening it up for others of you to make comments as you'd like to. I just really have appreciated this message this morning. It has spoken to my heart. And I will admit that I cannot claim the innocence that Brother Marcus claimed when it comes to sports teams, whether they're basketball or baseball or whatever. What lack of understanding I have is intentional ignorance. I ignore it because there is that. I would have to admit that there is that can be that urge. But I felt like Brother Marcus laid his finger on the underlying issue of following something, and that is a desire to belong. And that's a little sobering. If you stop and you look at what you're chasing, what really grabs your attention is more Am I correct in saying this, that that's more of an indication of a lack in your heart than it may be even an, how would it be, than just a desire to follow something? I'm not sure if I'm getting it said right. Sometimes we can feel a little self-conscious that as a body we have so many benefits and so many blessings as a people. And sometimes we can be selfish with that and say that this we belong to this and this belongs to us. But let me remind you that to really belong to a brotherhood, there's a price to pay. Thanks, Johnny, for your comments. And so it costs to be a part of a brotherhood. It is not a free ride. One of the things that I take away from this message this morning, Brother Marcus just said, let's be careful that we don't find our fulfillment in things that are less than what Christ intends for us. Another way maybe of saying it would be this, that we cannot belong to everything at once.